Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle. It is Friday morning. Good to have you with us. You're here with Timothy Goh, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. It's time for The Bigger Picture. And it's another record for the NASDAQ. And yet, we got these employment numbers, which didn't exactly make great reading.
Yeah, still a bit of a disconnect. In fact, if you talk about the record on the NASDAQ, it is number 35.
That's remarkable.
For this year alone, and we are not even through it yet. So another new record high for technology. Despite the disappointment on the jobs front, you had the weekly jobless claims back above 1 million. And we were kind of hoping that things would be reduced in the weeks to come, but it's now, as we expected, to some extent, rather patchy. To get the bigger picture on what's happening in the markets, we've got Francis Tan. He is the investment strategist at UOB Private Bank. Morning, Francis, TGIF.
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday, Francis. Well, looking at the markets, it seems like investors are also happy and they are flocking into technology names. Even though we are getting some bad data on the jobs front, Francis, are you getting some sense that this is becoming a bit of a safe haven of some sort for investors?
Well, I guess, especially this year, technology seems to be the new defensive. I mean, in the past, technology is a cyclical stock. Whenever economic growth picks up, technology should gain. When the economy is in the recession, technology should lose out a little bit more. However, because of the kind of recession that we are seeing, it's a pandemic-driven kind of a recession. That's why the increased usage or expected usage of technology has boosted up the technology share. So, in fact, last night when we saw that the initial jobless claims going back up above 1 million, as you reported just now, technology shares got another additional boost because they are the new defensive of this era. So whenever the market is uncertain and thinking that, oh, things may get worse, they will just pump in onto gold, onto the safe havens, onto technology. And that's exactly why we see that it's moving in this direction and there's no disconnect. However, I need to caution is that the continuing jobless claims is actually on the way down. It was last night it was reported to have declined to 14.8 million. From the previous week of 15.48 million. So that is a good thing. So I think that, especially if I look at some of the higher frequency numbers and indicators again in the US, I have a strong belief that over the next coming weeks, we are likely to see a slower growth. I would say a slowdown in the initial jobless claims. So I think it should be back to below 1 million soon, very soon. And that we are likely to see more improvement in the continuing claims. One of the key things is that actually, if you look at the US, a lot of people are still harping on the overall numbers. Wow, more than 5 million COVID numbers and things like that. Well, we know that this is accumulative. Basically, it adds on a daily basis. Is that if there's one more person with COVID, it's going to add to the overall big number. So that number will not drop. It will continue to go higher. That's true. The key thing we need to look at is the change of this number, and that's on a daily basis. A lot of people, and especially analysts, have been saying that, oh, the U.S. is seeing a second wave, like many other parts of the world is seeing a second wave. But hold on for a while, because the U.S. is a big country. And if we look at it by states or even by the different regions, it was basically a case of early comer to the late comer passing on the baton. And right now, we saw that the supposed second wave in the U.S. is actually the passing of the baton to the southern U.S. states and to the western U.S. states, which on the good part right now, they are on the declining trend on a daily basis. So I think going forward, we will still prescribe our case that the worst is over, not just for the U.S., but for the rest of the world, and we are likely to see recovery. And from there, the new defensive, we want to be prudent right now. We think that some of the valuations of some of the technology stocks are really obviously at a very unsustainable level. And taking a more prudent approach, we're likely to think that we need to pare them down a little bit.
That's a very good point, right? You've flagged technology as a clear winner for quite some time due to the structural changes with the current landscape. So you are also looking at very lofty valuations, like you pointed out. So when do investors start thinking about taking profit and rotating elsewhere? And where's the elsewhere?
Well, I think it's always prudent to look at it right now, in fact. usually in our experience is that whenever we advise investors or even our clients, they take quite a while to react to it. This is what we call implementation lag. You know? Mm. So usually because of that, we have got to be a few steps earlier. And the fact is that we were a few steps earlier. Many people will blame and say, oh, the analyst is too early, you know, taking profits too early. No, I think we have to see this as not a speculation. We have to see this as an overall portfolio protection. And in this case, we are really seeing some of the very lofty valuations, as you just mentioned, in some of the individual stocks in the technology sector. Not just all our technology sectors. If you look at Amazon, they are in the consumer discretionary sector. So tech-based stocks, not just in the technology sector. I mean, Facebook and if you look at Alphabet, which is Google, they are in the communication services sector. So these key tech stocks, we are likely to see them into pretty much, I would say, lofty valuations. And I would suggest that investors take some time right now to look at their portfolios and to take some profits off and put into cyclical sectors that are, I would say, on the improving trend right now, especially if we are going decisively into the early stage of the economic cycle. And those are the financials, industrials, materials sectors, which I think a lot of them still have some very good value if you look at the individual stock level.
Your chairman, Francis Tan, he's the investment strategist at UOB Private Bank. Francis, can you just walk us through what is your recommended asset allocation for a balanced investor right now? And also talk about the US dollar weakening. How is that going to affect Asian markets when you see Asian currencies getting stronger?
Well, I would say that right now we are neutral on equities, generally global equities. We are looking to pan out a bit on our U.S. technology sector and reallocating them into the cyclical sectors. So there's no change in the overall equities portfolio for the balance, which we are putting at around 45% right now in the portfolio. We are definitely never going to be aggressively pulling back now, because a lot of investors, if you look into history, miss out the best days. I mean, you have just reported that we are seeing another new high in the NASDAQ. We are not saying that we pan out the entire technology sector. We are just saying that growth stocks, at the end of the day, will still be one of the key things going ahead, just that on the technical basis, it seems to be a bit too high right now. One of the key things is that, well, interest rates are zero right now. So anything, growth stocks don't really pay dividends. And so anything that doesn't even pay dividends is forgivable right now. And look at gold. Gold doesn't pay any dividends at all. So it's because of that that has attracted a lot of attention from investors. Overall, I feel that the US dollar still has more downside in this cycle. However, it's really beaten down too much that near term that should be a technical rebound, especially as we are approaching the November presidential elections. Historically, we're likely to see the US dollar improving a little bit more because of the uncertainty of who will be the president. But I will say that this will be a case of selling into strength. If the US dollar is picking up a near-term technical rebound, we would like to see that investors maybe take the opportunity to sell into the near-term US dollar strength. But going forward, so long as the Fed maintains a low interest rate environment, continues the quantitative easing like the other central banks of the world in the developed world, we are likely to see US dollar weakening. And for that, I would believe that we should see quite a good sustainable rebound in the euro and the Japanese yen, as well as the sterling.
All right, euro, Japanese yen, and sterling could be on the up versus the US dollar on a longer term trend downwards. We've been chatting with Francis Tan. He is the investment strategist at UOB Private Bank. Francis, always great chatting with you. Have a great weekend in advance.
You too. Thank you, Ryan.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.